Everyone, this is Kate, Masha's mom, young mom, and we're back with another podcast episode of Young Mash Radio. Seeing as we have Craig here, we're talking about the meaning of life and the purpose of life and what drives us and what motivates us and where the hell are we all going with this. And I'm 45. In my experience, the meaning of life changes and fluctuates so much throughout the lifetime. And for me personally, it was initially very much career focused. And I would say my main drive in life was business, anything to do with business. And I was one of those people who would refer to my business as my baby, which the minute things got tough with Masha proved to be entirely insane. And you know, that notion of business being a baby went out the window. That was the first thing that went. And as I'm observing the change in my values and reassessing and realigning the meaning of life for myself, and I've been observing that change in the three of us, my husband, myself, Masha, naturally. And in the last, almost 3 years now since the cancer journey started, the change that's happened in Masha and for Masha has been nothing short of life-changing and hugely significant. And she went from being very lively and very fun and very young, and I guess a typical London teenager who goes out clubbing and lives life to the fullest, but with very much, I guess, fun is the main angle. And then when cancer happens and suddenly you have to reassess, why me? How did it happen to me? How do I live with this? What if I don't make it? How is this affecting my whole family? How is this affecting my education? And then suddenly she had to ask herself questions as to, am I really living my life according to my true values? And then in the process, it turns out, well, actually, no, the degree I chose for myself isn't all that. It's more because it felt like the right thing to do rather than what she actually wanted to do. And Masha's always been creative. She's always been a painter, an artist. She's got the perfect pitch. She can pick up any note, and she can sing, she can dance, she can perform, she can write, she can speak. It's actually easier to say what she isn't good at. And so in a sense, it kind of made her options at uni that much, you know, that angle was that much wider. And she chose religion and politics, and very quickly she realized it wasn't what she should have been doing. In fact, she wanted to go back to her art, to her painting, to her creative stuff. And as a podcast host, she was so successful and she enjoyed it so much. And I am using one of her notebooks where she's got all of her podcast ideas. And so observing all of those changes in the three of us, and again going through more changes now as my husband and I wanted to talk to Craig, who's been interviewing people on the subject of purpose and meaning of life for how long now, Craig?
Coincidentally with my last episode with Maria, but prior to that about a year. So I wouldn't really count this year because I haven't really released any content, but prior to that, since like 2020, like June, May, around that time. So
so about a year. And how many people is that?
About eight, but you know, I love to talk a lot, so each episode would be an hour, so I'd have to cut it into like two separate episodes. But eight, around 10. But yeah, they're meaningful episodes, so let's count it as if it was more people, because the stories were people. Yeah.
So Craig's been chatting to people who went, from my understanding, when I reviewed your episodes, some traumatic experience, some difficulty, which made them reassess, right, their life and their life journey. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to take, to have a look at your take from everything you've taken away from those conversations. And Caitlin, well, Caitlin's had her share of ups and downs, and also, as you guys already know, Caitlin's a medium. So she sees things and she hears things and she gets to speak to people on the other side who I wish I could speak to, but I can't.
Yet.
So yes, exactly. Yeah, that is my aim. That is my next aim. And so we have three perspectives, and I'm very keen to get you guys chatting. And Craig, let's start with you. So what's your biggest takeaway? What's the meaning of life for you? And how does it change and evolve as you get older?
Well, I'd like to say my first foundation meaning of life is within my actions is basically just to honor God. As I am a Christian, I'm not perfect, but I just try to honor God with my actions. So that would be like my foundation, just making God happy. So not indulging in sin as the Bible lists certain sins and whatnot. So try to stay away from that. But in terms of like career focused meaning of life is to like reach a stage where I'm financially stable, I can support myself and support my family. I wouldn't really say to reach a stage of enlightenment, but like reach a stage where I'm comfortable as like when I get older.
Okay, but comfortable financially, that's not meaning of life. That's an objective in life.
Ah, it's difficult. I can see when Maria and like all my other guests got a bit tricky. But I'd say, okay, the meaning of life, in my opinion, is just to honor God in my actions, like, simply, yeah.
And how does it demonstrate for you in day-to-day life? Do you honor God?
But in terms of just being a nice, kind, respectable person, because Jesus Christ preached about loving and honoring other people. Apart from telling other people about the good news and being able to be reconciled to God and whatnot, it was also a message of like love and positivity. Not to say there wasn't negatives, and not to say it was all flowers and roses, because the Bible doesn't talk about like it's going to be flowers and roses. There will be difficulties, but one key thing that's standing out to me now, thank you God, is that love thy neighbors as you love yourself. You know what I mean? So treat other people with kindness and respect, because I feel like a lot of Christians they tend to be judgmental and they tend to throw stones when themselves are in a glass house.
So, and how are you dealing with how are you about judgment?
If I'm honest, yeah, there's certain lifestyles and certain things that my peers and my close friends do that I personally wouldn't indulge in myself. I'm not even lying to you, but I still show them respect. And depending on the different lifestyle they're in, I'd be like, hey, bro, I just stay away from it, or sis, like, it's not worth it. You haven't got to do it. But me personally, I like to play that role of like the peacemaker, just observe. But I wouldn't necessarily do it. But I don't egg my friends on to do foolishness that I wouldn't do as well, because that makes me a hypocrite, which I'm not a hypocrite. Maybe that's a bit of a lie, but yeah.
All right. Okay. So that's an interesting take. I was thinking about the people that you get to chat with. How do you choose them? How do you select stories that you feel are worthy of being told?
Whoa. You said worthy there. Guys, I'm going to have to put on my PR character now, basically, the selection recruitment process. Oh, but seriously, like, I don't know if this is really ruining my brand or spoiling my secret, but I'll just be straight up with people. They're actually people that I know, or a friend of a friend. And I'll be like, he wants to come on my podcast and share the story. And they just give me an overview, and I'd be like, you know what? That sounds good enough. And when I say good enough, I don't mean your trauma isn't good enough for my story, you know what I mean? For my podcast, because that is just outlandish. But I really want stories that are hard hitting. I've had people that on my story that have been raped, people that have been abused, people that have been shot at, people that were going to be on rideouts committing harm to other people. But as you said to me, Kit, when you got this idea, divine inspiration or divine intervention, something ends up happening. But yeah, I'm not too picky, but it has to be something that I'd be like, as a listener, I'd be like, wow, like, that's astonishing. You went from this and now you're at the end of the tunnel. So
does a specific story spring to mind? Are you thinking about anyone in particular thinking, wow, that really hit at home for me?
Let me breathe. My friend Jacolia, she must have got raped about 8 times. Don't worry, I'm not spreading gossip. This is all on my podcast, guys. I'm not giving you any unseen exclusive details, but the stuff that she went through and then having an abortion, and that was something that she didn't even talk about. Or she didn't have an abortion, but she had a miscarriage, and she went into detail how she like found it out, the fact that she got raped by a friend at such a young and tender age, and then like the lack of coming from a healthy home, and now she's changed the, well, I wouldn't say she's changed her life around, because it's not like her getting raped was her action, it's something dramatic that happened to her. So hopefully, guys, don't judge me on that from getting my words in the mix. But now she's kind of like healing, I'd like to say, to a degree, but she's no longer in the state that she was once at what yeah, she's no longer in the state that she once was when she was going through the incident from when I last spoke to her. I don't know how she's doing now, but yeah, that's the story. Yeah.
And Caitlin, for you, I know that you've been through a few things yourself. How does your perception on the meaning and purpose of life change?
So for the longest time, because of all of these traumas that I went through and all this stuff, I didn't really cling on to a meaning of life. Because at that time, I was simply just surviving. I was trying to get to the next day. So I wasn't thinking about the future, but I was thinking for right now, am I safe? Am I sane? Am I going to be awake tomorrow type of thing? But as I started going through my recovery and really finding myself and understanding, because I think, a lot of when it comes to trauma, people are like, it's very hard, it's very hard, but that's all they say. The process of getting to that recovery and healing is absolutely gruesome, but it is so necessary. And through that, I think I've found meaning in life through a higher power. And I say higher power because I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, but I also don't look down on anyone for having those beliefs. If you're happy, you're sorted, and it aligns with your higher self and your values, go for it. But I'm just spiritual because that's what it aligns with me. There is a power higher than myself, absolutely. And once I found that, the meaning of life came about. And to really understand and live life through your values, like kind of what Craig was saying, it's almost exactly the same, but it also changes all the time for me. Like it was my higher power, and now my meaning for life, for my personal one, is to help other people and guide them, aid them through those difficult times so they can also find their meaning of life. That's my thing, is helping hands, service, basically.
You know, guys, it's so interesting. I'm sitting here listening to you. You're both, what, 21, right?
Yeah.
Craig, you're 21 as well.
No, I'm 20, I'm 20, I'm
You're
20.
20. Okay. And traditionally, usually people go for advice as to what meaning of life is to people who are plus 60, 70, right? Older people. And I kind of feel that it's a very faulty worldview. Because every single human being, whether you're 5 years old or 25 or 85, you still have meaning to your life. And it will change and fluctuate, and you kind of go with the flow. And I almost wonder, again, listening to you guys, whether it's a generational thing, and that perhaps as human species, we're moving towards something better. At least I'm hoping for that. When I was your age, I don't know. I wasn't, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't thinking about helping other people. I wasn't really focused on any kind of spiritual values. In fact, if anyone asked me, I would have said there is absolutely definitely no God. There's absolutely definitely nothing other than science. And you are kind of each for yourself, right? You're just a Wolf of Wall Street kind of thing. It's each for their own. And I'm listening to you, and I just think it's such a nice change. it's a really, really, really lovely change. And again, as we're training more people as young mentors, and I'm seeing that change in our group, and so many people who are giving their time selflessly and learning so that we can pass that knowledge on to others. And all the masters who are there to pass on that knowledge as well to young mentors, that cycle of give and take not just for the self alone, but to share with a wider community. And the ripple effect then gets bigger and bigger and bigger and affects more people. And I think that's just beautiful and wonderful. And you guys are pioneering that change and you're taking it forward. And I mean, Craig, with every single conversation you have, I'm sure you have feedback from people, from your listeners. How is this affecting your audience?
I'll be so honest with you. Unfortunately or fortunately, however people would like to look at it from their perspective, I don't really get too much feedback from my audience. Actually, it's not a lot of people, but if I tell someone about my podcast to go have a listen, I'll be like, yeah, Craig, this was amazing, man. Get more guests like this, XYZ. Get these hard-hitting stories. But can you just repeat your question, please? Sorry.
Yeah, no, the question is, when you interview people with impactful stories, with interesting, difficult stories, stuff that happens to people you don't necessarily expect happening to you, like Masha's story, what's your audience feedback? What are people taking out of it? Okay. What are you taking out of it as well, yourself?
So what are they taking out of? One guy, I'll never remember, on my business lesson, I was like, bro, you got to check out my podcast. It's like, I say nothing, bro. We're literally in a business class, supposed to be doing work, yeah? And he puts in his two earpods and he's listening to the first episode, which is the craziest episode, craziest 40 minutes that anybody will listen to in their life. Trust me. If you want to listen to my podcast, you can. Link at the end. But he puts in his earpods and when he finishes it, he was like, bro, like, seriously, like, this is making me change the way I view girls and we treat girls. I was like, my boy, I love it. I love it. When he said that to me, I thought to myself, Craig, you know what? It's not about the views, how much views I get. It's about the impact in people's lives that I'm making. Shout out my bro, YD, because he's the first one that told me that in a bid to kind of encourage me. And then I listened to another girl when I did an episode on should mixed race people identify themselves as black? A white lady. I don't like to play like the race game and race this, race that. But she was like, yeah, man, as a white person, I learned so much. It was very meaningful that I was able to listen to two perspectives as well to also educate myself. And then I have other people, just my friends, hopefully it's not biasedness, you know what I mean? They're like, yeah, Craig, I really enjoyed this episode. Who knows if they listen to it? But if they have, they have. If they haven't, they haven't. But it's like, I've got to continue. I've got to start making changes in people's lives. And especially with Maria's episode, that one, I wasn't expecting the amount of traction that I did with so many people saying, Craig, wait, you've gone from this, the Craig we knew in secondary school, the Craig who are now interviewing people with cancer. Like, the change has been amazing. So it just inspires me to keep pushing on. But personally, me, feedback-wise, it's just to up my content, get more people with different stories, provide good content to my niche audience, if I still have an audience left after being inactive for a year. But it's just to keep pushing, keep striving, and getting more guests with impactful stories so I can impact another person. So when I'm dead, God forbid anyways, I don't want to die yet. I mean, like, when I, like, pass on, like, this podcast will be my legacy 20 years down the line. People be able to listen to the meaning of life from Craig's perspective and hear people's story and hear the questions that I ask, and hopefully gain some sort of insight and make a positive impact. They listen to it, they get to the end, they hear, thank you guys for looking into another episode, and then they're like, you know what, why don't I treat this person a bit better? Why don't I be a bit more empathetic? You know what I mean? Why don't I start asking these questions to hear a different perspective and not be so, what's the word when you're so closed-minded? Yeah. Sorry, that's a very long-winded answer, so I apologize.
Actually, I've got a follow-up question on that. The 10 people that you've spoken to, right?
Yeah.
Have you noticed a change within yourself and your behavior after all those podcasts that you started?
Yeah, that's actually an amazing question. Amazing question. Yeah, so basically, I'm gonna be straight with people, but I'm also going to university to study law, so I'm not gonna incriminate myself too tough. Basically, like when it came to I'll be okay. I've got to be careful how I'm gonna word this, but when it comes to like people getting raped, I've always been like. I'm not fascinated with the idea of rape, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. But it's just like the more like mental and emotional side to it, like the perspective, how things go. And then when I'm listening to it, because I used to be like, bro, like, but consent this, consent that. But not to say I don't know what consent is, but it's just like it's a bit different. It's a bit different when you're in that situation. So I'd be like, nah, but true say this happened, but he could have taken it as this way. But when I'm hearing these ladies' stories, especially Jacoli's story, it just I thought to myself, yo, like I can't be talking to girls in a certain way, not like sexually, but it made me really kind of change the ways I view women and change the way and how I talk with them. I'd just be a lot more empathetic. So if they say they got raped, I'd be like, I'm not gonna be out here trying to defend the man and be like, but yes, all of this just get into politics and that it's not needed, but it's just like have a lot more empathy and just be like, yo, this happens to a lot more women. So how can I protect women like my friends and how can I be a bit more supportive? You know what I mean? So if they're going through a situation, what to say and what not to say and how to just support them and just make them know that if you're with me, it's a safe space. I might bust jokes if it's a sad time to try to lift the mood, but I'll try to make it a safe space so you can talk to me and you ain't got to worry that I'm not going to be one of those guys that befriend you just to try and indulge in sexual activities with you. Just like, nah, literally, that's it. There's more, but for the sake of the question and the podcast time, yeah, that's it.
I think that's a really good thing. I think in just in general, I think even if it's not just those particular topics, but making someone feel safe around you, I think is just a really good goal in general. And the fact that we are talking about these kind of topics brings more space into understanding what a safe space is, if that makes sense. Nothing that's really important. So well done.
Thank you,
Yeah,
thank you.
I think it is a hugely important, and the fact that you, even if it's just one, two, whatever, however many young men that you influence and impact, that's already two more people who are going to be more respectful, kinder, more empathetic, and whichever avenue you choose to get people to stop and think for a sec about anyone other than themselves is surely a good thing.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Caitlin, any thoughts and comments?
I don't know. I think conversation is very important, especially when it comes to figuring out what your personal meaning to life is. Because if we don't have these conversations, we're not really going to be opening up any space to anything bigger or even more understanding. I think the biggest thing for, in my opinion, for understanding and knowing what your meaning of life is understanding things. To put it
That
like that simply.
boils down to values, doesn't it?
It all comes down to values. And sometimes values are like really tricky, especially when you're a teenager and you're young 20s, young 20s, early 20s, blah, blah, blah. And then you're faced with all of these like controversial or like your mates are doing this, but you're not quite comfortable with it. But how do you handle that? And it's always testing. So sometimes it's tricky, but it's healthy. But creating that safe space will, in my opinion, make it easier for people to be in those situations and have the best outcome for them in terms of their life lessons.
This is actually a really interesting point. And again, yes, you kind of all want to we all want to conform, most of us do, to what's socially acceptable and what's the social norm around us, right? And what made you come up with the idea of this specific podcast, the meaning of life, starting this when you were what, 19?
No, 16, 16, 17.
16. Okay, how many, show me another 16-year-old who actually stops and says, hey, what is the meaning of life? let alone a 16-year-old who says, hey, let me start a podcast and talk about that.
So if I'm honest, credit to my mom. I love my mom, my legend, my semi-producer. So I was actually 17. Yeah, thank you. Big shout out to my mom and God. But I was actually when I was 17. So I was in the pandemic. I was in the middle of a pandemic. But so I think it was year 11 or whatever, six, that time. Basically, there was a time in my life where to year 11, I didn't do too well in my GCSEs. I spent most of that summer playing FIFA, just being lackadaisical, just not doing anything positive or meaningful in my life. So when the pandemic came around, I was in a much better place in terms of grades wise. I'm more focused. And it was actually the second stint of like the lockdown, the second half of the lockdown. First half, I was just doing stuff which I wouldn't do now because I've taken my faith a lot more seriously. The second part, I was just like, you know what, yeah, the first part of this lockdown, I wasn't really doing anything too meaningful. I don't want this to be a repeat of year 11 summer where I'm not doing anything meaningful in my life, and just I want to make a change. I want to do something serious. So I went downstairs with my mum. I was like, mum, I've got a podcast. But she thought it was a Christian podcast. So she's like, wait, Craig, wait until you get a bit more knowledge on the faith and whatnot, then you can do it. I was like, nah, I want it to be about people that have gone through bad stuff that now have gone to good times.
Where did the idea come from?
It came, the meaning of life, I don't even know. I think my mum was just like, she called it the meaning of life from Craig's perspective. I don't know. She mainly came up with the name. It must be like God, but I feel like that's where it came from. But me wanted to change my life and just understand. I feel like I had the name, and then the name just followed suit with the episodes that I did. But it's like it ties into me being lazy and me wanting to make a change. But yeah.
So basically, in essence, you were seeking inspiration from people who went through some difficulty.
Basically put, and since you said that, you might as well just cut out my full of nonsense answer. just simplify it to that, honestly. I don't mind.
Yeah, and then so essentially then seeking inspiration from people who went through difficulty, and then that shows that you've been sitting there thinking there's got to be more to life. Yeah. I can do better than that. I'm more than that. All our parents influence us, and I love the way that your mom has helped you shift your attention and focus to this, to others, not just sit around and wallow in self-observation, self-pity, self-loathing.
Self-loathing.
Exactly. It could have been anything self-related, just sitting there in the swamp, but it was basically a push to, hey, go around, speak to other people, see what happens, see what you learn, see how you can apply it to yourself.
Hmm.
If they can, that means you can as well.
Exactly. It's just like the different stories. I was also, my mom calls it nosy, but I always wanted to like hear like these types of stories in it, like the before and after. And the fact that I got people and that I knew people that were able to change their life around, it's like, this is an amazing story that my audience can listen to and hear the change. Most of it was God. But then I wanted to stray away from being called like my podcast as a Christian podcast, because I'm just a Christian who does a podcast. I'm going to have people like Maria. Maybe that's not the best example to use because it wasn't God and whatnot. But like, I'm going to get other people, yeah, that I'm going to come on the podcast, and they might not be Christian. Might be a spiritual thing, or they might even turn to Islam, all I know. Hopefully I don't get Christians bashing me, you know what I mean? Like just the change, just the change in their lifestyle. But yeah. Thank you for the compliments. I appreciate that.
It's the perspective, I think, that I like. The fact that you said you're a Christian guy doing a podcast, but bringing in and welcoming in those different perspectives, even through like lifestyle and life experiences as separate sometimes. Incredible.
Thank you.
That we need more of that. I think you're doing a good thing.
I just want to add that I want to keep my Christian traditions and values. So I'll be so honest with you. The people that will tell me stuff, and it's just like, I may not believe in it. Like I don't believe in Allah personally. I believe in like God and whatnot, like the Christian God and whatnot. But that doesn't mean I'm gonna be like to a Muslim brother, nah. Okay, you're going to tell me your story, and as soon as you mention Allah, I'm going to be out here censoring it and saying, no, I don't believe in it. We're not getting any further. No, it's not like that. It's all about change and hearing people's different perspective, because, yeah, it's
basically boils down to just human experience on this planet.
Exactly.
And I'm listening to you, and you said being interested in human experience, or you call being nosy, what I call being curious.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Tell my mom about that, please.
Curious, exactly. Have you considered journalism? I don't know why you're going to law.
Actually, my mom said, Craig, you'd make a great journalist because, like, in terms of my questions that I do with interviews, and
yes,
I believe
you have
they
no question,
curious
that's
that.
true.
Thank you. I wanted to when I was younger, like be an investigative journalist. Well, my mom, but I used to want to be a load of things, but mainly journalism, interested in hearing people's stories. And my mom suggested it to me, but then she said, yeah, if you go over to certain places, you might get killed. Like, if I go to Iraq and all of that stuff, because I'm so interested in finding out people's stories, like digging deep, that they might just kidnap me and just kill me. So I really don't want to lose my life. So I don't want to be, I don't want to be doing Ross Kemp stuff. But I might be a side thing, but I guess this is my form of journalism, my podcast to a degree.
Definitely is. It definitely is.
Yeah.
And Kate, from your perspective, and I'm quite keen to hear your side of the story in terms of mediumship and things that come through to you, if anything comes through to you on the subject of meaning of life.
the meaning of life. I'm spiritual. I believe there's a higher power, and I use the word higher power. So this comes back from the 12-step program for addiction. I'm just using that as an example. And in, I think it was step four, don't quote me, but one of the steps, they focus, the step is for you to focus and find your higher power and focus your energy and your values through that and live through that. And I have seen firsthand how much it helps someone's quality of life within themselves. Finding that higher power, finding God, finding Allah, finding any higher power, whether it's nature or something like that. I've seen the actual physical difference. So I think that a higher power is very important. Sometimes it doesn't need a name because mine doesn't have a name, but I know that there is a power higher than myself, meaning that I'm just little old me. I've got my life for this little portion of like this percentage of time. What can I do in my own life that will carry on that like ripple effect of this and improve my quality of life? And I've got that answer through my higher power. That's honestly what I can say about it through my, because I can only talk from my own experience. And it's been a really impactful one with that.
And I remember in one of the previous episodes when we spoke about, actually the episode we had with Heike about mediumship, and I remember asking you this, and she and you both said love. Love is the meaning of life. Spreading
Yes.
love, giving love, creating more.
Creating more. I mean, love is one of, in terms of vibrational energies, if you're going to talk about that, love is the highest vibration. That means that there's more to give. There's always more to give. Love comes in so many different forms. Love is helping an old lady cross a busy road. Love is showing compassion. Love is wanting to understand from a different perspective. Love is family. Love is friendship. Love is pure and unconditional.
Amen to that.
There's always more to give. Once you have found that purest, unconditional love, it will be easier to find it again. Once you've like, okay, that's definitely it, you see it way more often, and there's just more to give. So
Beautiful.
absolutely.
It's absolutely beautiful. And that's reminds me of all the times when whenever Mush was happy and well and down and unwell, the reason she's inspired us and the reason we're here and the reason we're chatting and the reason for the collective is to carry her torch, which is pure love and support and caring and giving. And the number of people, and Craig, you remember that vigil which pretty much started this whole thing for me. When people came up and said, you know, this is what she's done for me, this is what she did, people she's never met before. And she was just there to listen. And sometimes that's all we need, to be heard, seen, accepted, not judged, just seen for who we are. And without volunteering advice, without trying to solve our problems, but just hearing us out, saying, hey man, I'm with you, it's hard. Masha's always been brilliant at it. And I think endless hospital trips and endless pain and suffering kind of swing you one of two ways. You either go really bitter and selfish, or you open up and you blossom and you turn into this practically angelic human being. And Masha's level of patience with people, honestly, I don't think I even know anyone. The last 2 years, the way she was accepting and open, and she would be the first to jump up and defend. And even when people do something incredibly, ridiculously stupid or unkind or just plain mean, she would say, yeah, but you know, no one does mean things when from a place of good. They must be hurting inside. Something's going on with them, which is why they're lashing out. It's okay, just send them more love. Give them more love. As our Kabbalah teacher always says, kill them with kindness. More kindness, more love, more. And I know it's so easy to say, oh my goodness, it's so easy to say, but it's so hard to actually deliver. Because when ego gets involved and we all get upset and hurt, and then you think, well, fine, have it your way. Fine, I'm not interested, whatever. And yeah, I think we're all allowed to do that. We are all allowed to go through that process as well, because that's also a process. But if you come out of that process thinking, okay, I can even give more love from a distance. I don't need to be with the person who's hurting me. I can step away. It's okay to have a boundary and distance myself. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to sit and hate that person or spread gossip and vile things about that person. It's fine. And I think it's a really beautiful thing that we can come to that, if we can come to that.
I think one really important thing that I've just learned recently, like in terms of just letting go and loving from a distance, things don't have to be bad for you to love from a distance. Things could be going perfectly well, swimmingly, like the best thing that could be happening, but something is not aligning with you. That doesn't mean that that person is wrong or bad. I mean, half the time that is what it is. But people in my experience hold on to something that's physically like looks tangibly looks good, but when it comes to the deep down stuff and things aren't aligning, it is okay to step back and love from a distance. It doesn't have to be bad for you to let go.
Hey, and I just wanted to add like a Christian perspective. So let's say if I'm going through, I think he even says this in the Bible, so all you Bible people don't come and quote me, you know what I mean, ain't perfect. But also it talks about there's a scripture, and if I'm correct, it just says, it talks about praying for those people that have done wrong to you. You know what I mean? Pray for those people that spite you. Now I want to add my own remix into it, but essentially just pray for people that who have hurt you so they don't go and go hurt somebody the way that they've hurt you, if I know what I mean. So just basically kind of, you break the circle, because I remember it was actually very traumatic what happened to me, and I'll probably never go into it ever, not even if you pay me £1 million and boost my podcast. But it's just like, the thing that happened to me was just so, I never expected it to happen from the person that it did happen from, but it's like, I was so hurt and I was so angry, I was raging.
Are you going to share what happened with you?
No, I'm never doing that ever. Like, it's too, nobody can pay me, it's literally that deep. But it's like, it's just like, why don't I pray for that person? You know what I mean? Because my mom was like, oh, that person must be hurting. My friends were like, I can't like read. For him to do that to you, he must be hurting, or he just must be obsessed with you, either way. But it's just like, I just decided to pray for that person, because it's just like, you know what? Even though he did that to me, yeah, it's not like I'm praying for him to get like a Ferrari and all of this foolishness, but pray that he doesn't do that same thing to someone else, because the reaction that I had, somebody could have had a completely different reaction and decided to do something to that person. But it's just like, even when people have treated you badly, just pray for some sort of peace in their life. Pray for peace in your life, but try to break that circle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like love can also conquer all. I feel like that term, love conquers all, is used in a completely different context and nature, which I'm not going to go into, but I don't think it's fair to say that, because love conquers all. So if you're hating somebody, just show somebody love, you know what I mean? Show somebody peace or some sort of kindness, and maybe that can kind of like soften their heart, you know what I mean? So that's what I just wanted to add quickly.
Thank you for that.
Love and kindness is free.
Literally.
It's free. And it does not hurt to give it up.
The only thing it hurts is the ego. It's the only thing that you need to really stop. This is when you have to minimize yourself. And this is where we stumble, when people start feeling like, well, why should I? But reality is, I think the reality is actually very simple. It's for your own benefit. It's you humble yourself a little bit once, and then you win long term for sure, 100% guaranteed, every single time. It brings me to a line, Craig, from your podcast with Masha, and when you ask her the question of what is the meaning of life to her, and then she responds, and I'll just quickly play that sound bite.
That is a good question. The meaning of life, I think, is do whatever makes you happy as long as you're not hurting anyone. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of what you're doing. Just make sure that you stand by that decision and it makes you happy and you haven't hurt anyone. I think that's the most important thing. Life is too short. It's just too short. You don't know whether this is up. Only life, whether we have another one, it doesn't matter, but you don't know how many days you have, and so every day do something that you know has made you happy.
I can listen to her voice all day, every day.
She's got such a calm, soothing but distinct voice, and it's beautiful. It calms me every single time I hear her.
Yeah, me too. It's very soothing and it's very gentle.
Yes.
And I think what she didn't say is that she herself went above and beyond in terms of helping. She was always there to support, listen to, uplift. And Masha's way of doing it, I just think, is the best way. She's so funny. She always makes people laugh. It's she hears you out and she makes you laugh. And I think it's a beautiful way, because it's just not too serious. It's not too, one of the things she always used to say, it's not that deep. And she just snap you out or whatever it is. It's not that deep.
Yeah. I mean, I would like be over emotional and she'd be like, but Kate, is it that deep? Kate, is it that deep? And the answer was no, it's not that deep.
And usually it isn't, right?
It's really not that deep. It's just ego.
It's just ego, exactly.
Ego is beautiful, but it's also complicated.
It can lead to the demise of a person, which is very unfortunate. That's why you got to tell yourself sometimes it's not that deep, but also, like, what's the word? Indulge in your emotions and have your little downtime, but then just keep it stepping, because you don't know how many days you have to live, and there's no point harboring on to pain. And what my cousin Kaylee told me, shout out my cousin, what's it, she said, Craig, don't get upset and don't get angry for things that you have no control over, like especially if it's just happened in the past. Keep it stepping, and then the Bible says focus on the things that are positive, you know what I mean? So you never know when your time will come to like pass on to like the next life. So focus on today, as other days that like the other days will have its worries and whatnot. Basically take each day at a time and focus on what you have to do on those days, because tomorrow is never promised, obviously. When it's like I read in the news or whatever a couple years ago that a young man died, and I found it crazy, because it's like that young person, if he was younger than me, probably had plans for that the next day. Or even like literally after that person died. So let's say he died at 8 p.m. He wanted to go link his man at 10 p.m. or do whatever. And it's like, now he's not here. So it's like, and I feel like a lot of people feel like time is promised, and now time isn't promised. I'll be so honest. Like, so like, do the best of what you have, because I feel like people take life and time. What's the word? They underappreciate it and they undervalue it. So that's what I just want to add.
I think it's actually, it's a really, really, really good point. Someone said to me recently, as in, Kate, aren't you jumping into this whole charity Young Mash Collective thing a little bit too quick? Shouldn't you take time for yourself to grieve properly and take a year, take two? And my response to that is actually exactly aligned to what you just said, Craig and Caitlin. I don't know how much time I have left. Just because I'm young and healthy doesn't guarantee the fact that I'm here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I feel that I have a mission, that Mush has left me with a mission. My job is to fulfill it to the best of my ability with her help and the help of people around me. And I don't have a day, a minute to waste. I just feel that it's not my job to second guess how much time I have. My job is to do what I've been left to do. And time is of the essence. We can't sit and expect that it's there forever.
So, Kate, can I ask you something?
Go for it.
What do you think your meaning of life is now? Do you think it's to continue the Young Mash, continue a legacy, continue the foundation, the podcast, or focus more on your personal life?
My personal development impacts the foundation in a very direct way. And depending on which mood I'm in on any given day, that impacts people I'm working with. So for example, young mentors like Kate who come in and speak to me. I mean, I chat to Kate just about daily. And if I'm sitting there in a ball, in a heap on the sofa, I'm not good to her. And that goes directly against what I'm trying to do. And what I'm trying to do is, again, walk my walk with as much dignity as I can muster so that I can honor Masha and walk just as she walked through her hardship with so much dignity and so much grace. And she'll always be my example through the harshest chemo, all those awful, crushing conversations with the doctors. She walked with a smile, and yeah, my goodness, yes, of course, she had down days and hard days, but every single time she'd get up and she'd dust herself off and she'd walk on. And Craig, you've seen her. She's radiating beauty and kindness and grace. And if I'm to do anything good in this world, I have to inject those values into the foundation that we're building, and we're doing it all together. And so my personal development is to make sure that I try and be less judgmental, have more patience, recover from, if I get into a state of judgment, I recover from that quicker and go back to serving quicker. And again, in terms of the, you know, a whole turn, it's almost a flip in my personal values. Again, like I said, I went from living my life through the lens of career and business success to now understanding that it's all beautiful and great, but it only means anything if you can apply it to other people and you can share it with a bigger group of people. And if it's just for self alone and just for me and just for my family and just so I can jump to get myself another pair of designer shoes or what have you, it doesn't mean anything. It literally means absolutely nothing. And but if you actually help facilitate change within people and make someone's life a tiny little bit better, that's meaning. And then by the time I'm gone, like Kate said, ripple effect. And then suddenly there's something that stays behind you. And you have we have no idea, we have no way of seeing because we're too zoomed in. And if we were able to zoom out a little bit and actually see how our lives, our actions, our words impact the world, I'm sure we'd all be so much more careful. And just one act of impatience on, you know, you're tired, you're annoyed, you're rush hour, London tube, and you just you slightly push someone or you just give them a look and it ruins the whole day. Or if you do the opposite, you know, if you smile and if you give up your seat and can make someone's whole day, and you just never know what the other person is going through. So give them the grace and give them the kindness, even if you feel like you're taking something away from you, because I can guarantee you that will come back to you in the form of energy somewhere where you really need it. And that's how it's changing for me. What else can I do today? What is the one, and my goodness, I'm actually quoting Masha, I just realized. What is the one action I can do today? I can, to make someone else's day a little bit better.
That's kind of crazy, you know, even for us to say that, even though she was going through her own hardships, because a lot of people just tend to like isolate themselves. By the way, I'm no expert in it, but just on my somewhat understanding of human psychology and got my own degree, you know what I mean? I'm chatting. But also, but just like for her to go through that and still radiate kindness, and she did tell me certain things that she went through, and it's just like, yo, like you're not even entitled to like be so kind to certain people when you're literally like dealing with cancer and going through all this harsh treatment, wearing on you emotionally, mentally and physically, but she'd still like make time for other people. She still make time for me, still make time for Aya, still make time for David, like make time for everybody. And it's even just more people than just, it's more people that just turn up to a vigil in her time of like literally a like life and death situation, isn't it? Because cancer is very unexpected. It's not like, you know where you're going, you know what I mean? It just speaks volumes of how much of an amazing person like she is slash was, because I believe I was with Tatiana and Aya, and I said bodies and whatnot, they're just there, but your spirit can live on forever. That's what I personally believe in it. So like if spirit lives on, people's spirit lives on.
Yeah
I hope people understand what I'm trying to say, but yeah, that's what.
No, you know, you said it well. I think just Mash is living proof of, if you do one small, tiny, kind thing, even if it's for someone else, drawing a picture or smiling at someone on the street can positively impact your own personal life as well as the other person, obviously, that's receiving from you. As much as, you know, do it for other person. But when you do it, there's something inside you that just ignites and you're feeling absolutely horrendous. But even for like the split 2 seconds, you feel good about yourself. There's nothing negative that can happen from just being kind.
I think it takes about as much effort sitting there in self-pity as it does going out and doing something nice. And it feels like it's a lot more effort to do something nice. However, when you think about all the times when you're feeling really low and really down and really low, alone, and you're thinking, oh my God, I can't stand everyone. Everyone's annoying me. And if you feel, you remember what that state feels like, it's just not in a nice state.
Yes, literally.
Walk out of it as quick as you can. And the way out of it is by doing something nice. Because when you see that smile, when you see that spark, that connection that happens between you and the other person, it's gold. It's priceless. It's second to none. There's absolutely nothing in the world that can replace it.
If people were more aware that like the same amount of energy that, let's say, you spend like being lazy and just playing P4 and not doing anything meaningful with your life, it's the same amount of energy that you can invest in making changes to your life. Like, my mom's got me and she wants me to do something that I know will benefit me, but I'm just being lazy. But it's just like, Craig, the amount of time that you're spending lazy, lying on the bed, watching YouTube videos, listening to foolishness, it's the same amount of energy I can use to positively impact my life in the future. But I guess it all starts to just knowing like what you want to do and what you're going to get. Not necessarily get out of it, but just like knowing why you're doing this positive act, or knowing why you're going to benefit your life, and just not being lazy. Because a lot of people love to wallow in self-pity and just cry and just make excuses, but are never willing to get up off their asses and actually do something, which I just find absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. But yeah.
Yeah, but I can also understand from that perspective of feeling down in the dumps. You physically don't feel like you have the energy to actually pull yourself out of it. But that's like my own thing, which is why I found it now in my daily life to make it easier, physically show that you're able to do it.
Yeah, I understand.
It's like practice. It's like learning, like training a muscle.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I'm sympathetic. Empathetic. Don't know which one to use. So I know Kate, you're gonna bleep this out. Thank you very much. Thank you in advance. No, but on a more serious note, I understand where you're coming from, Caitlin. Yeah. But it's just like I feel like certain people, I don't know, they're just generally lazy. I can understand. If people understand what I'm saying, you understand. But I feel like certain people, they'll go through some stuff. I understand. As people all go through stuff, I'm not trying to do the pain Olympics. My pain is worse than your pain, so I can stay here for a year longer and do it. No, but it's just like people don't want to like make that change, and they find the time to be negative and exert that negative energy into other people, but they won't find the time to like self-change, self-improvement. It's just like you have nobody to blame but yourself. Like it gets to a point where you just need to get up and take charge of your life and decide to make a change. Because I know there's a time for like grieving, there's a time for mourning, there's a time for sadness and pain. And I don't want to say depression, because depression is just completely, it's all a different story, that one, the whole different kettle of fish. But other certain things where you're in a little period of like sadness, it's just like, get up and do something. Like you've been like this for too long. You've allowed yourself. It's not like the external thing has allowed you to be like this. You've now allowed yourself to stay in this state and be stagnant, and you're not doing anything. It's just like, come on, man, take charge of your life. Like, actually get up and do something. Like, yeah.
No, 100%. Like, but I feel the same way. Like, there is a point that where you have to look at it and be like, okay, I'm not moving anywhere. What can I do to move forward?
Yeah, take accountability.
Yeah, accountability is a massive thing. Without accountability, you're not going anywhere.
When people refuse to take accountability for their actions, it just leads to a mess. And it just, from an outside perspective, it kind of changes how I look at some people. Because there's been times where I've refused to take accountability for my actions when I was younger, and I wanted to blame it on this and I wanted to blame it on that, in fear of how people would perceive me, and or a fear of this person might not mess with me anymore, or I don't want to get shouted at by my mom. But it's just like there's no pain, no gain. So it's like you take accountability for your actions, you then take the punishment or the bearings or whatever, but at the end you're blooming into like a massive, like a beautiful flower. It's like needed for your journey of growth, I'll be real. Like a lot of people refuse to do that, and then they just land themselves in stupid positions and they don't grow, they stay stagnant. And it's just like, bro, you have a life. God has given you a life. Well, that's what I personally believe. God has given you a life, yeah. Try and unlock your meaning. You're not going to unlock your meaning or find your purpose if you don't take accountability for your actions, if you don't find your purpose. If you just stay still and continue to lie to yourself, it's like you're not going anywhere. It's like, you know when you cheat on a test, yeah, and teachers are like, guys, I've done my GCSEs, I've done my exams, you're only cheating yourself. And it's just like, I feel like life is like an exam to a degree. Once you cheat yourself and lie to yourself, you're literally staying in the same position. You're not growing, you're not learning. You know what I mean? Just like people need to change.
So you guys, with that in mind, let's round this up. Caitlin, meaning of life in one sentence.
The meaning of life is to find passion, and you work where that passion is.
I love it. I actually really love it. Craig, and you?
It sounds crazy, but if you understand where I'm coming from, hopefully you guys can understand the weather. But the meaning of life for me is to find Jesus Christ, to find God, for other people, find your other higher power, because I feel like with that comes love, and bears lovely fruit, put lots of positivity. So yeah, lots of positivity can come in the forms of job opportunities, romantic relationships, career elevations, which will ultimately, what's the word? Increase the more positivity in your life, yeah? Time is done, but yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for looking deep. Thank you for mulling it all over this way and the other. And for me, I guess it probably boils down again to the to a combination of everything we've all said, including MASH. Find what it is you're good at, run with it, share it, give more what you love. And even when things get tough, because inevitably they get tough for all of us at some point, even through that difficulty, even through the pain, keep sharing, keep giving, keep loving. And the main thing is stay that beautiful, loving, giving energy. And don't let life or people or unfortunate events harden you. Just spread love. Thank you so much for listening to us chat about this and this. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear your ideas. What is the meaning of life for you? What's your purpose? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What keeps you going? Where do you seek inspiration? Write to us, chat to us, come on a podcast with us, join us. Join us as a young mentee. Also, please donate. The link to our page, to our Just Giving page, is going to be attached. Remember, we're a non-for-profit. We rely solely on your donations. So please, if you find any value in what we're talking about, please share it with your friends who you think might benefit from listening to us. Please give us feedback and please do donate. And we're sending you lots of love.